This is the Marketing Development Podcast, brought to you by the Marketing Development Academy, the online community designed to help you develop your marketing business, skills, and career by exploring the world of marketing and entrepreneurship. Here is your host, Pete Everett.
Welcome to episode 72 of the Marketing Development Podcast. My name is Pete Everett, and today I am joined by Vito Peleg from WP Feedback, and we talk all about niching. Vito is a top bloke, and he was one of those guys that I was always going to bump into at some point on the show. Show notes can be found at peteeverett.com/072. Welcome to this episode of the Marketing Development Podcast, and I am joined by Vito Peleg from WP Feedback. Vito, welcome to the show.
Hi, it's great to be here, Pete. Thanks for having me.
No problem at all. Vito and I have known of each other for, well, probably about a year or so now. I mean, it has been a while. But this is actually the first real life conversation we're having, short of a few Facebook comments here and there. So, Vito, do you want to just sort of give a quick intro as to who you are, what you do, where you're from, all that kind of stuff?
Sure. So, I started the marketing when I started the band when I was 14 years old. That was kind of like my first steps in understanding how to kind of like find target audiences and how to refine your message, how to find the right channels when it comes to the gigs and all these kind of stuff. And at first it happened naturally, but then as we wanted to grow this thing, I started getting into marketing as a profession. So reading all kinds of books around the subject and really kind of like diving into it from the point of applying it into a rock band that we played at the time as kids in high school, you know. And that pretty much has been going for about 10, 15 years. We've got to a point where we were touring all over the world. We released two albums worldwide, playing to thousands of people. It grew pretty quickly, even from that sense, but the money was not there. So this is when I kind of like started building websites from the back of the van. And I started my own kind of like design freelancing business from there. Then as the band broke up, when we turned 30, and it wasn't cool anymore to, you know, to be in a van with four other smelly guys, you know. That's when the band broke up. And I started building an agency. And within the first year, we got to six figures here in London, building websites. And then within 3 years, we got to a team of 12 guys. And through this rapid scaling, I discovered a really big problem within our niche, within our community, which is client communications, how to communicate with them efficiently. I found that at least for us, it was a huge loss of cause for loss of profits. So so that's when WP Feedback came about, which is my main focus at the moment. We've been growing again pretty fast. And I think a lot of this is because of these books that I read when I was 14 years old.
I must admit, you know, your story when, so for those of you that haven't been on the podcast, there's when we're arranging a recording, there's a short form that I ask every guest to fill in. And the first one is about a bit about your bio, your backstory. And I saw that you were in a band. So I play the drums. And,
oh, nice.
Music has always been part of my family, actually. It sort of goes back like three or four generations into choirs and all this kind of thing.
Oh, that's awesome.
And then when I saw you'd been in a band and you'd played, you know, you'd been playing around the world, I was like, you know, if I could do anything else in this life, it would be to go and play drums in some of these mega stadiums. And, you know, I don't know how far you got with that, but I was just a little bit jealous.
We got to the stadiums, but not to the mega stadiums. That's that was like 3 years before. If we would continue for 3 years, maybe that would have happened.
So, but what I like about what we've just said, so, I mean, we're going to talk around some themes about marketing, but, you've already mentioned WP Feedback.
Yeah.
Which is a product that you've built. But actually where that has come from, as you just said, is that you've found a pain point in your niche, in your community, but you found that by working in that community. You didn't sort of you were already on the inside. So do you just want to talk us through a little bit about that process, about, you know, how you identified that problem and then how you went about addressing it?
Sure. So to be honest, when I first started, like we got to a point at the agency that it was really hard to scale further. So I kind of came to the realization that if we want to go further, I just need to bring in more bodies, and then the overhead just explode, and there's a lot of stress in the agency model managing revenue that needs to come every single month when you have a large team, very, very stressful. Mm-hmm. So I was looking for a different way of scaling without the need for consistently increasing the team around that, and as well as kind of something that is a bit more systematic, productized, and so on. So I looked into all kinds of different things. Within the agency, we used to do like a charity work. Like, we worked with a lot of charities, helping them with their mm-hmm. digital fundraising strategies and this kind of stuff. And so I thought I'll do like a course teaching them how to do like digital marketing and all of these kind of things. And I was working on it, but while I was working on it, the problems in the agency were still there with any agency, as you're trying to manage a bunch of clients, dozens and dozens of clients. And so, like, as a side note, we kind of like, all right, let's do this little thing to have something that'll fix this problem for us. It sounded like a good idea. And I kind of left it there. It wasn't really a main focus, this idea. But then after trying to jump into another niche, you know, like me supporting fundraising efforts within charities, I found that there are a lot of people that are already immersed in this niche, and they are nonprofits, and you know, the fit wasn't there for me to go and jump into a different industry and try to teach what I can teach, but it would have been an uphill battle to do that. But then I kind of looked at what we already have, and I said, all right, we're a development agency. We can build stuff. Why am I going out doing courses and all this kind of stuff? We already have something here that is working for us, and it's working pretty well, a lot better than we even thought. So I went out and I did a survey within the community to check if this problem is only relevant to me, or if this is something that is relevant to a lot of other people. And I kind of like, we just created a basic landing page that lets people know what the idea is and how it's going to work. We didn't have the tool yet, at least not in a properly way to actually release into the wild. But then we thought it was going to take about a month to get to the first 100 signups of people that are telling us, yes, this is something interesting. But that happened in 10 hours. And then from there, so we had the first kind of like traction literally within hours since we announced this thing. And then through a funnel that we created a ripple effect that got to a point where instead of 100 people by the end of this first month, where there's nothing even existing, we got to 1,300 people that were signed up, waiting for it, wow, filled out a survey, confirmed that the problem is there, and shared it with their friends.
There you go. So, I need to commend you on that spirit of not sort of giving up. I know that one of the things that people are so scared of, and I know that a lot of the people listening to this are solopreneurs or youpreneurs, yes, whatever you want to call them, people working on their own. And when you're in that position, the amount of money you earn is directly related to your family's well-being. Yes. When you've grown to the point where you're running a company and salaries, et cetera, happen more naturally, then you've not sort of got necessarily the same pressure on you. But there's this
because you're liable for other people's livelihood.
So the point is really that there's the pressure on you to have these entrepreneurial ideas, and you know, we all have them. Loads. I don't know whether you're like me. I just, you know, I can be walking down the street and see something in a shop window and say, oh, you need to do that. I'm never going to do it.
Yeah.
But yeah. But you know, you have these ideas, but the ones that you're going to run with, there seems to be this pressure that they have to work. And if they don't work, then you're a failure. And that's actually not true at all. We've spoken on our podcast before about how people often put the emphasis on the wrong thing. They don't necessarily enjoy the journey. They focus too much on the result. And actually, there's a hell of a lot of fun to have in the journey. And that's going to have some twists and turns. And you know what? Sometimes you're going to get some of that stuff wrong, but that's not a problem. You can then move forward. And you've then basically come up with a very logical process to talk to your community, talk to other web agency owners in our case, and then address a problem. And I know people listening in will be able to say, oh, well, that was easy for Vito because he was running an agency, he had developers, he was able to create a product. But it doesn't have to be a product like that. It could be, you know, if you're more writing based, it could be a product in that area. If you're more strategy based, it could be a consultancy plan. It could be anything. But it's the method of going through it.
Even more than that, like when we started marketing this, or we started to see if there is any interest in the public, we didn't have anything. We the tool that we had for our own agency was way less than what can be way less than an MVP. Let's say, you know, just a couple of hours were spent into just doing this kind of really, really basic function. But and even more than that, you know, on the initial landing page, there was a video of the tool showing how this thing works. This was done in After Effects. It wasn't even the tool. The video was mimicking like a screencast, you know, but it didn't exist. It's just like a mouse being moved in After Effects to click on something that is not there on a screenshot from a page that we built. So, and I'm a strong believer in that. I think that an idea should have merit on its own and it should have legs on its own, because a lot of people go out and start raising a lot of money even before they have a any idea how things will play out and if people are even interested in what you have to offer. And I'm a strong believer in sell before you build. And and just to get to a point where you know that there is validation before you invest further. And this is something that I saw a lot happening with clients that came to us within the agency, asking for us to build all kinds of digital platforms for them, e-com sites, and you know, all these kind of some amazing ideas, some horrible ideas that I've heard. You have no idea, like you don't know what we've been through here, and people never test them. That was the main thing, and like I tried to get to a point where I'm giving my expertise into like, all right, go out, test the idea, do some survey. Even if you go to a supermarket outside and ask a few people if they care about this, or go to where your target audience is and ask them. Very easy to do online nowadays, but most people don't even take this step. So because we did it and we saw that there was traction, I felt comfortable and empowered to actually invest into building it, if that makes sense, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, you've done it exactly right, and you've taken exactly the right process to it. And yeah, you know, if you've got an idea that you think has legs, you don't need to go and spend those thousands of dollars or thousands of pounds building any. You need to build one page. And
that's it.
I did so we released a course through the Marketing Development Academy, Demystifying SEO course, and you know what, that it was exactly the same. It was one page. I didn't do the survey thing, but it was a lower priced product, and it was a case of, you know what, I'm going to put this course on for less than $200. It's not going to start for 6 weeks, but if this offer is valid for X amount of time, and I had a minimum number of people. If I wasn't going to get over that number, then you know what, I'll just give everybody the money back
and give the refund. No harm done.
No harm done at all. And then you can regroup and think of something else.
Yes.
So, you know,
and that's the power of pivot. You know, like there is this book called the Lean Startup. I don't know if you read this.
I haven't. No.
Very good. Very good book that talks exactly about this, about the knowing when to pivot, knowing when to take an idea that you thought was awesome and just completely transform it. And it's even surprising as you read this book to kind of like realize that some of the biggest companies in the world didn't start off doing that at all, you know, and they just evolved into that and they pivoted a few times until they found the right spot. So to me, I even feel that what we're doing now with WP Feedback is just another pivot of my freelancing business from the back of the van, you know, building websites. It's just another step in that road. And this kind of reminds me of what you said before about people not really focusing about the journey and thinking about the goal per se. So, I couldn't agree with this more. And this is something that whenever I'm trying to do something new, I try to imagine my day. You know, it doesn't matter about the day you reach the goal, because then it never gets there. You know, you always find something bigger to aspire to, especially as an entrepreneur. So you never really get to any goal. You're just walking, right? So, so with this kind of, just imagining when I wake up and I sit in front of the computer or I go outside, what am I doing? How do my day look like? And that's based on a bad experience that I had when I was like 21 years old. I had an idea. I was still reading all of these books and I was looking for these kind of concepts of how I can create some a recurring revenue without, you know, like passive income. It was a big thing back then. And I read about this lady that got out of debt by having some vending machines spread out around her town. You know, I was 21 years old. It's like, okay, I can do some vending machines. My mistake is that I thought too big. I went to China and I manufactured the machine. Manufactured the machine, brought it back to Israel, to Tel Aviv, back then when I was living there. I brought 50 machines from day one and I committed to another order of 50. I'm like, yeah, I'm going to sell these guys like hotcakes. No one cared. It was such a nightmare of a business. You know, I was literally carrying these machines myself for a year inside women's bathroom and installing them with the screwdriver and everything. It's like 40 kilo machine. And I always look back to that moment of me standing in this like dark bathroom inside of this kind of like a dance venue, you know, sweating my face off, holding this heavy machine and thinking like, what, how didn't you not see this coming? You know, what did you thought will happen? So every time I kind of like envision that moment where you're holding the machine and the worst moment that you can imagine. And then I make a decision, do I want to do this thing or not? You know, is this the right path for me? And so, yeah, not about the goal. It's about the journey. I agree.
Absolutely. You know, I feel like we should re-record the introduction to this. So welcome to the Marketing Development Podcast with vending machine manufacturer, Vito. No, that's brilliant.
Horrible business. I mean, don't do that.
I think where our paths possibly crossed then was you then validated this idea. And I suppose we now move a little bit away from WP feedback in the sense of the product itself. But you then, not only did you build this thing, but you then put in this strategy in place, which has marketed the hell out of it.
Yeah.
And you know, I think if you're sort of an agency owner in any kind of the Facebook groups or LinkedIn groups or whatever, that's kind of seems to plumb us all together every so often, you would have seen your face on a video. I can still remember it. It might have even been that wall that's behind you. Right. I realize this isn't a great conversation for a podcast because it's not, it'll just be audio. But you then put a marketing strategy in place so that you could literally become, you've called it omnipresent to your niche, but just appear in different places. So do you want to sort of unpack a bit of that for us as well?
Sure. There is this really basic principle, you know, that people need to see you five, sometimes people say seven or eight times until they actually care. Right. So you got to be out there. That's the first thing. But the point is not only just being out there, but being out there on different channels so that wherever they look, that's where you are. And nowadays it's pretty easy to do if you know if you have the right, a mindset and the right kind of like tools to do that. First of all, with Facebook, with remarketing and Google remarketing, all of these kind of stuff, you can literally be everywhere. That's the first thing. But what I did is when we first started this, and especially seeing the initial impact of just me spreading like four posts on some Facebook groups and getting those 1,300 people and how that created the ripple effect, I wanted to, when we actually launched, I wanted to try and replicate that process, if not 10x it. And that's like during our calls, during these weeks, every morning we have a call with the team. And my saying was like, how do we 10x this? I would bang the table and say, how can we 10x this? And so it was like around this idea, what can we do that will actually help surround this community from every single angle that will just allow them to see what we're doing. And then if they care and if we have a good product market fit, then they will go for it. having omnipresence doesn't guarantee sales, but it guarantees that people will notice you enough to check it out, if that makes sense, right?
Absolutely. So, and really the key to that is that you don't want to sell to everybody, because, you know, selling to the wrong people can be more of a headache than not selling enough. It's about, as you say, getting yourself out there. It's like we've heard of interruption marketing before. Essentially TV ads are interruption marketing, but this is more about being persistent with that interruption until the user's in a place to make a decision. And if that decision's no after 5, 6, 7, 8 attempts, whatever it is, that's fine. They can go, but at least you've been through that. You've given them everything they need to make an educated decision. That's really the point, I suppose.
I agree. And to the point that you're saying, like, about you don't want to reach everyone, trying to do something like this and trying to reach everyone, that's like reserved for like Coca-Cola and McDonald's, you know, that's not for us. but if we are niching down and if we know our exact client avatar, then we can try and find where they are and just make sure that we position ourselves in these spaces, in these channels, so that they can see us, just this exact person, you know. And for me, it was kind of easy because I am the target audience. So, when I was building my client avatar, and I still have it here on my wall, I'll show you
there you go. Yeah.
Over there. So there's even a few pictures over there at the end. The lighting is hiding this. There's a few pictures that I just took of people from our Facebook group that I know that are active users. And I have their faces here next to me every day. So I remember who they are when we're writing content, when we're doing all of this kind of stuff. But the idea is just to get to a point where once you create your client avatar, you know where they are online, which websites they hang out on, which podcasts they like listening to. And maybe that's why we didn't do this sooner, you know, because your target audience is not necessarily WordPress people. That's not the main focus. So I started with the ones that that are, you know, like on the Elementor podcast and on Nathan's podcast, WP Builds, and the Admin Bar, and Lee, you know, the people that are just cornering this niche that we're trying to market to.
Yeah, that makes perfect sense. And you know what, time, particularly when you're in the middle of a product launch and you're still running your business. I mean, this is the other thing we should say. You've not stopped your agency, have you? You know, the agency's still running.
Well, right now we're kind of scaling it down. So we're not taking on any more new projects because it's just too much. And WP Feedback is doing like a lot more than the agency could ever make. So we're focusing on that. But we did keep some of our clients that we had on care plans, just so that we can keep experiencing our own product and keep using it with real people, so we don't get disconnected from it.
That is a very good point, which is, you know, this looping all the way back to where you started was you were then going to serve a niche that you were already inside.
Yes.
And if you then stop operating in that niche, essentially you would over time eventually become an outsider to the niche that you're already in. So no, you need to keep yourself completely grounded in that as well.
Yes, I totally agree.
So, so you've really put together this holistic picture of a marketing campaign. Now you were in sort of the fortunate position, I suppose, where you could start putting some advertising budget behind this. You've mentioned remarketing.
It was only done once we generated some sales. So we just invested what we made. There was $0 invested into the product from day one. It was just money that was generated, repurposed.
There you go. So on that original landing page, people could actually commit to buy the concept.
So the process was like that. With this initial landing page, it was just done organically. And I think that this is the right way to start anything, because you can reach a bunch of people organically enough to qualify if the idea makes sense, let's say, without spending money on ads. That just generated a mailing list. Then from that mailing list, we sold to them just through sending emails. It doesn't cost anything. So we sent them emails once the product was ready for beta. And this generated the initial dollars that then allowed us to take things further. But we started organically, created a mailing list from that mailing list, we created initial revenue and only then scaled things up.
Money, that's cool. I didn't realize.
Money is not, to me, money is not the way to start something. It's the way to grow something. Like that's something that is key in understanding when you're marketing something, whatever it is, or you're taking a new product to the market, you know, because if you're just pouring money into it and then people buy, it doesn't have legs, you know, and it needs to be able to run on its own. And all you do is give it these nice Nike shoes, you know, so it can run faster.
That's, you know, that's a great way of putting it, actually. Troy Dean talked about that. He ran a course about running a high ticket sales funnel.
Yep.
And in some of the live training, there was discussions about, you know, should you start, how do you drive traffic? Should you start running ads? And his point was fully no, just, you get everybody that you can organically to be exposed to your funnel. That's the way to do it. Once you know it works, you can then start putting the petrol on the flame through advertising in order to blow it up.
Exactly. It's just a means of scaling. It's never a means of trying to find if something works or not, because then you can just convince yourself by saying like, okay, I just didn't invest enough money, so no wonder no one bought it, you know, which is the wrong approach to it, you know. Like you don't want to be in a point where you just keep throwing money into the fire without having any initial fire, you know, like a ignition there.
That's, yeah, absolutely. I completely agree. So the I think where you're coming with this then is, I know you said that you were the target audience, but yes. I mean, am I right in thinking, look, those initial ads and the initial contact we had with you was literally, it was you in front of a camera. It was your face. So you didn't release this product as an agency trying to serve other agencies. This was, I know it had a name, don't get me wrong, but the you personalized it down to, it is Vito, and I'm going to talk to you about A, B, and C. And
I'm the guy.
That was it. Yeah, yes. You're the guy. That's it. Yeah. You're the guy.
Have you read the book by Russell Brunson called .com Secrets? Have you heard of Russell Brunson? So that's kind of like an intro book, but it has a lot of really great points around these things exactly. When you're trying to launch something new to the market, it's hard to gain people's trust. And when you have a face attached to something, automatically your trust level goes up, because I stand behind what I'm saying, you know, and I have something to lose because I put my face out there in front of this thing. Even if no one knew me before this process, but nurturing the attractive character, as Russell calls it, that's something that is essential in my mind to creating a long sustaining company, or even as an agency. If you become the guy, you know, it's a lot easier to remember than the name of the tool or what it does. You just remember that guy, you know, that he's always there.
It doesn't leave me alone. He keeps on appearing. He's everywhere.
He's everywhere. Exactly. It ties on really nicely with the omnipresence, because when I go on these podcasts and then they see my face on the Facebook ads, and then they see my name, the signature when I'm sending the emails out, it all contributes to that kind of to that environment. And you know, just to go back to that attractive character kind of like point. Mm-hmm. The idea is basically to think about this as, you know, when we're going and watching a film, a new film that comes out, most times it's not even about the film. It's not about the story. We don't know the story. We just know the actors, or we know the franchise, right? So we give trust not to stories and not to kind of like valid points. We give trust to faces and brands that, that spend a lot of money getting there. So it's the actors, or like, let's say Marvel, you know, if there is a Brad Pitt movie, I'm going to be there because I liked his other movies, you know, and if Marvel has a new film, I'm going to be there as well. So that's kind of like the way that I'm trying to look at this. You have to nurture this, this persona, and it has to be real. You know, you can't fake this kind of stuff. And yeah, and that's basically what drives all of these things. I guess if you're looking it back to the music world as well, that's why solo artists are always a lot more successful than bands, because there's one guy and you can remember his face, remember his name. The bands that do make it have the guy inside it anyway, you know?
I was just about to say, yeah, absolutely. You see U2, you see Bono, you exactly. You know, they, yeah, you struggle to remember the names of the others, but you, yes. You know, you see U2, you see Bono, you see Take That, you see Gary Barlow, you see, exactly. You know, I'm not going to start mentioning the repertoire, but the, yeah.
That's a good
I love that expression. I love that expression though, become the guy or girl. We're not being politically funny here, yes, guy course, or girl, that's fine. But yeah, become the person, the go-to person for that resource. And you know what? It takes time, and but it's about investing in that conversation. It's funny, you know. So as I mentioned, I released a course through the podcast. So the podcast is now, the time of recording, it's about 20 months old, right. And we've released a course. We've tried some other stuff that hasn't worked. We've got Facebook groups, whatever. But it's only really in the past, I'd say 3 or 4 months, that I could say I've had a regular base of referrals for marketing services in different areas through the podcast. The first, 16 months was, it wasn't me talking to nobody, but it's that trust building phase. Now, yes. I've not done it through retargeting. I've not had a product to sell. This has been, you know, I've made a decision to do a podcast this way because I wanted to. But it ultimately, it's the same process. It's just been over a longer period of time. You know, if you want to be an entrepreneur and you want to start this journey, you're the one that's responsible for starting the conversation. Exactly. And that's your responsibility. And you need to take that seriously and commit to it. The conversation may take different twists and turns, as we've said, but it's your responsibility to keep that conversation going. And really, I suppose now behind, from a marketing point of view, at least, that is where you're going with, you know, the next level of WP feedback. And then the level after that, you'll just keep the conversation going. That's the way it works.
Keep the conversation. Yes, definitely. And there is, there are additional ways where you can systemize that as well, or create a way where you don't need to spend so much energy finding these people. Like you said, having a community on Facebook or having a solid mailing list, that keeps you this audience that you can keep kind of like reaching out to, ask questions, get feedback, and continue on that journey as you described it. But what I like to do is I like to go into an idea with a bang, you know? So like that's pretty much was the process here at the beginning. That's why it kind of like created this momentum, because I didn't want to wait a year, you know, I didn't want to wait like 6 months even until we get some traction happening, just because I didn't know if it's going to work. Right. So I just gave it everything that I got for like 2 months, pushed it before, and it 2 months before people even saw me, right? So it was just like 2 months working behind the scenes, building it up. And then when it's released, it's like everywhere. Then if it goes, it goes. If it doesn't go, it tanks big. It royally it tanks. And then you know, okay, next, you know, let's move on to the next idea.
Yeah, but that at least at that point, you've put some effort in. Of course you have, but it's been a concerted, concise effort. And if it doesn't work after that, right, well, it's a small amount of time that you can write off and you move on to the next thing.
Exactly. So no, after the past experiences, like I really like the pivot process, you know, like, and that's why this book really resonated with me around this thing, because, it's so easy to get tangled in ideas that makes no sense and try to run with them for years. You know, we both know we were musicians, so we know exactly how this thing works. Like you have an idea that everyone is going to love it, and then you go for years without insisting, this is my art. I'm not going to steal any direction. I don't care about what people tell me. That's the opposite of being a marketer, you know? Because our job is to take feedback and improve our product so that we can market it better. That's basically the game, rather than stay vigilant on what we want to do. And whoever, if you don't want it, screw you, it's your fault. You know, that's not the game.
You know, absolutely. And I've been there. I mean, it's been years since I've written music, but I've been in rehearsal rooms where, you know, you're trying to figure out a new way of doing things. And particularly as the drummer, you can very easily make the loudest noise. I mean, it's not difficult to overrule anybody. And you think, yeah, I've got this great idea, let's do it like this. And like 30 seconds later, you're like, no, this isn't going to work. But now we're all committed, we're all playing away.
Yeah.
And you've just got to hold your hands up at the end and say, sorry guys, my bad. Yep. Didn't sound like that up here.
That's really hard to do, you know, for a lot of people, because we build these things up in our mind a lot bigger than they are usually. So when we have an idea, like you're saying, you're walking down the street and you see a crooked street sign and you said, oh, I can make a better street sign, right? So then you start running with this idea in your mind, and it's really easy to spiral with this, rather than just, okay, let's check if anyone needs a street sign or they've got it sorted before I invest any more into this.
Yeah, you're spot on. You're so right. the number of times that those things happen. So anyway, Vito, thank you so much for your time. It's been great talking to you.
Yeah, it was a pleasure.
If people want to reach out to you online, where's the best place that they can track you down?
LinkedIn or Twitter, that's the best. Just search for, on LinkedIn, it's Vito Peleg. And on Twitter, it's at FeedbackWP, even though the name of the company is WP Feedback. You see, that's what happens when you create a business in 2019. Not many handles are left.
You know,
yeah, that's the best.
I don't take a lot of Gary Vee's advice, but there was one thing I heard him say once, which was, if you want to do something for your kids now, go and register the .com address of their name. So, you know what? I went and got all of them.
Yeah. I have Vito Peleg.
Like...
Yeah. You know, I have Vito Peleg sitting for like 4 years now, not doing anything. One day it will, though.
Yeah, just no, in absolutely. Case. Well, So all of this podcast hosted on PeteEverett.com, but at the time I hosted, I bought Pete Everett, I got my wife's, and I got both my children's all at the same time. It's like $50 a year or whatever it is for these domains, but I'm like, one day that's going to pay off.
They will thank you.
So yeah, they will thank me. Mate, thank you so much for your time. It's been great to have you on the show.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Vito, thank you so much for your time and coming on the show. It's been full of great insight, and if you haven't checked out any of Vito's stuff yet, do make sure you connect with him online. WPfeedback.co is their website, and go and check him out. And I'd love to know what you are doing to serve people within your niche. So please jump into our Facebook group at PeteEverett.com/group and drop us a post to let us know exactly what it is you're doing. Look forward to seeing you next week.